was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 489. I had such great plans for this week and was gonna be all prepared, had a long weekend to get ready. And I was playing dog referee all weekend because Haley and Marley still aren't getting along. And then we got Rex, and he's not getting along with the cats. So, well, he's very interested in the cats, as in eating the cats. So there was no real sofa time to sit and casually read. It was pretty much I had a hand on a collar or a leash the entire time, so. Sadly, I did not get all the reading I had hoped, so. Yeah, sadly, I realized I only read 3, and 1 I read last week, so. Yeesh, not good, but Mike said he read a ton, so that's going to get us through, so that's good. But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave,
Mike,
Pat,
Spencer,
Brandon,
and we have Marley and Rex are both joining us. So he lay down. Good. We had to dislodge Rex from the sofa to fit Pat and Mike up there. And he wasn't looking super happy, especially because I had to wake him up to do it. So, yeah, that's how to win the love of a dog. That's not the way to do it. Another personal news. Monday was my last rehab. So I finished my 12 weeks of cardiac rehab. So hopefully I should make it till the end of the year. So
hopefully you can get away from Burger King rehab. You'd be all
right. I haven't been in a while. The weight's actually going down nicely, which I'm actually really happy about. It had gone up, and they showed me where I started at. I'm like, well, where I started at really wasn't a real number. That was still...
Yeah, that was post-operation.
Yeah, that was still in the gaunt. I've definitely got my appetite back and stuff, but it started going back down again, so that was good. Made me happy. But yeah, I know a lot of it's the surgery, but man, some of the stuff I've been doing, it's like, yeah, before the operation, yeah, this wasn't I couldn't do a flight of stairs without having chest pains. So yeehaw, all is good there. And lots of walks with dogs now, because taking Rex out about every hour so he doesn't pee in the store. Yeah, he's a big boy. But he's a good boy. He's fitting. He's like, this isn't so bad. Lots of people petting me. Marley, still not so sure of everything. Yeah. But, so come by, say hi to Rex. He has his own Twitter page, Rex the Comic Dog. So if you want to see his exploits, mostly where he's laying down. That's so far what it's been.
Let's see, how many tweets does he have now?
3 or 4, yeah. Two today.
Followers?
Oh, yeah, lots of followers, yeah. But, yeah, and I even had a typo in a tweet today, and I'm like, people will figure it out.
Well, pause. I mean, it's hard to type with pause.
It is. But instead of saying without, I forgot the out. I just typed with.
That could be a huge difference, though.
It is, but it was basically he was laying down underneath the table on the blanket under there. And he's like, hey, I found this cool place where I could be near Dad without driving him nuts. So, but I forgot the out, so with driving him nuts. But I think people can figure that one out.
So why don't you do his, though, like in a dog voice?
I've seen people do that because I follow the topic dogs, and it's really kind of annoying. It's
like ruh-roh.
That would be okay, but it's when, misspellings and things. It's just, it's like.
It'd be better if you could do like backwards letters.
Yeah.
Dad blamed another fart on me.
Yeah. But I never do that to you, Mar. No.
No,
but you don't have a Twitter page.
No, and that was brought up. Why didn't Harry and Mara? I'm like, because I didn't think of it.
She was here first.
She was here first, but he's Rex the Wonder Dog, which was just such a perfect name.
Poor Marley,
just abused. Poor thing. I know. He doesn't sleep on the bed. You do, okay? There's room for me or him.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah, and I'd rather sleep on the bed than Rex. No offense, buddy. It did jump up there once. It's like, no, let's not start this. So, I had all these plans. I'm going to go in, all the comic news I'm going to write down and everything. I didn't see anything. There's some sports cards news where Fanatics bought Topps after stealing the licenses, so Topps literally had no licenses to produce cards.
Yeah.
And so they then went in and bought them cheap. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't cheap. It was $500 million.
Was it? But cheaper than it would have been.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, theoretically.
Yeah.
So. Morbius got delayed again.
Oh, I don't even pay attention to that stuff.
It was
supposed
to come out on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really? That's
but it was supposed to come out long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was originally supposed to come out July of 2020.
Is that for me? Is that good? Is that food? You got food out of the bag?
Kept getting pushed and pushed. And the rumor is it was because of what Spider-Man's continuing to do. They were afraid it would just crush it at the box office. So, we'll just wait. We'll hold off. But, I actually kind of want to see this.
I do too.
And I guess they did some reshoots with Michael Keaton, some additional scenes with him as Vulture.
Oh, wow.
So.
Well, what I'm worried is that they're going to do like what they did with the Bloodshot movie, where you only see him go like full Bloodshot for like 5 minutes at the end. Like, that's all, like, and, like, you know, the little bit that we see as him actually, like, the vampire in the trailer is just, like...
That's the last shot of the movie.
Or something like that, you know, but, you know, a shot of the last 5 minutes of the movie or something, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about is that he's not, you know, how much are we going to actually see him in, you know, actual, you know, vampire Morbius state?
Because the makeup looks good.
Yeah.
He looks very comic accurate. And it actually looks like a role I could stand him in. he's just... He's not a fan? He's not the Joker.
Yeah.
It bothered me.
He's made other movies.
He has. He was in Lord of War with Nicolas Cage. He was his brother.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's a strange pairing. But it's actually a really good movie. Yeah, so. And then, I think the guy's name is Tom Taylor, and if I'm wrong. But the guy that drew the original drawings for the Masters of the Universe, he died this week.
Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
He did the concepts, or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was, you know, obviously really influencing, like, the barbarian stuff. And if you've... The original comics, the mini comics that came with the toys, are very different than what the cartoon became.
Are they darker or something?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Very much a... he was more of a barbarian king than, you know, there was no Prince Adam. Like, that stuff didn't exist. And actually... I would say it was probably 3 or 4 years ago, Dark Horse put out a collection of all the mini comics. I have it at home. It's like, you know, 3-4 inches thick. It's,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. But like when you read that, like, don't expect, you know, Skeletor to be like, you know, I'm surrounded by imbeciles. It's not like that at all. So. Marley doesn't know what she's doing.
She's doing what she wants to do.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, since Colin walked away, I guess we can talk about Spider-Man.
I haven't seen it.
Well, we already warned you. I mean, you know, it's been out for 3 weeks.
We may never get to talk about it.
I know.
I'll leave early and you guys can talk about it.
Right, but we have open air time now. That's anyway. All right, so we don't talk about that, I guess. Who read something?
I did,
Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
Crap.
Well, because you chimed.
Okay.
And chirped.
Robin number 9.
There.
So this is kind of like the end of the Lazarus story arc. I think, sort of. So, the Lazarus demon comes to life, and Hawk, Connor, is it Connor Hawk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connor Hawk. He's laying there with like a hole in his chest. He's kind of like sort of dead, maybe.
I think the demon has to like take over its body. Like, oh, I think it needs to embody, you know.
Yeah. So the demon needs a host, and he's kind of like super hot, and Damien's trying to fight it, and he's getting burned, and
yeah, because he has like the it reminded me, it's very Spawnish almost, like with the green flames, yeah. And like anytime you touch it or burn, but like also if you hit it, you know, it would like knock off like little pieces of it.
Yeah. So you're like, there's no way that Damien's gonna be able to beat this thing, and then Alfred shows up in like a little sort of like flashback kind of thing.
Well, it's either like Jeffrey, that's either something like he is either having a vision or
I'm gonna
like,
go with vision.
Well, yeah, I was thinking, you know, with it being a Lazarus Island, maybe somehow his spirit, you never know. It's comics.
So basically Alfred's giving him great advice about what his dad has gone through, and like he's never done anything, he's failed, and he's asked for help, and Damien's like, what do you mean? And so,
yeah, because throughout that whole sequence, you see this like the stuff of Batman when he's first trying to be Batman, and the bat coming in and ringing the bell. But it's as Damien, is going through it.
Yeah. So, Damien takes the advice of Alfred, and he gets all the people that were on the Lazarus Island to kind of unite and fight together. And basically,
that's after he took his blood and made a mask. Which
that was a little weird. Like
I got the R,
but what was the circle thing? Yeah, he drew like little blood circles around his eyes. I'm like, eh, what was that?
Especially like everybody knows who you are.
And how old is Damien supposed to be?
I think now he's like
14 or 15,
somewhere around there.
The dude
I was
is
thinking
ripped.
Like, I was thinking like 13.
The dude is ripped in this magazine.
Well, I mean,
you're
like
no, he should not be that muscular.
Well, I mean,
like that age.
Well, I mean, when you're trained as an assassin, by the time you can poop in a diaper.
Okay. So.
Yeah, but your ball's got to drop first, you know.
I mean, there was that. Remember years ago, there was that one like super jack like 6 year old or whatever. He was like from a different, you know, he's like Australian or something like that, but.
Yeah, but they gotta be because everything in Australia is trying to kill you.
Yeah,
so you kind of have to be like that.
So, ultimately, they defeat the demon, and is it Ra's al Ghul's daughter?
No, that's his mother.
Mother, okay. What's her name? Mother?
So that's Robin's grandmother.
Yes.
Yes.
Is, like, pretty upset, like, you destroyed what I was going to do, all this other stuff. And, like, okay, you think this is going to be the end. And then, for whatever reason, Damien... He's like teleports somehow?
Was she like, yeah, someone like
she teleports
spits
him?
Like Lazarus stuff at him, and he wakes and like he not wake up is the right thing, but like he realizes he's in the desert, and it's whenever it, like before his father found the Lazarus pit, it seems like. So
yeah, and he encounters Ra's al Ghul on a horse. Mm-hmm. His grandmother, and there was one other person in the back.
Well, I think it's probably
his mom?
Him, Roz, his wife, and then probably his mother is what I was thinking.
Yeah. It was a fun issue. It was cool. I enjoyed it.
Well, it seems like it's not ending anytime soon then. At least another, you know.
Yeah.
Few issues. Arc, yeah.
May's Book 5?
Yep.
Is this the finale?
I believe so.
Okay. Colin said it was.
Okay. So, so Will continues on his journey to find his daughter, and he's realizing he's super close to where he thinks he needs to be, still following the red string, and he's asking the beast that he encountered to show him, where's my daughter? I know she's around here. And he encounters his daughter, which... is not really his daughter. I think it's his idea of what his daughter would look like. And the daughter said something really unique, like, if you don't leave now, you're going to be trapped here with me. And he's like, that's fine. That's what I want to do. And she reassures him that he's been a good dad, he's been a good daddy, and all this other stuff. And he kind of comes to the conclusion it's time to let go. And he does. And you're like, where's this going to go? And like, he's all, you know, upset and everything. And then he's in the apartment and his neighbor's there. And she kind of's like, hey, how you doing? Good. Well, I ordered some dinner. You want to come in? And he kind of like flicks a little switch and says, hey, maybe it's my time to move on. And it was really heartwarming and touching. It was like, it was a really, really good story.
It's a story. It's a study in grief.
Yeah.
And going
absolutely.
On.
Yeah, I didn't know where it was going. And yeah. Even up to issue four was cool with the layouts and stuff.
Yeah.
But you still really didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, that's.
But that ending was.
But it was the whole grieving process, and he finally realized it was okay to let go.
Yeah, and he finds her, and she's like, you can't be here.
Yeah.
And you have to let me go, and he does. But then the dog shows up again, and it's the neighbor's dog, and he takes her back,
takes
and then
the
is invited
the
in,
neighbor.
And all of a sudden life goes on, and he's no longer lost.
And
it
he
was,
finds her.
Yeah.
And that last page with the sweater, the piece of the sweater going into the door, that's a killer. That was so good.
Yeah. It was.
And that's where
really really good.
That's where it led him.
One other one I will talk about, speaking of Jeff Lemire, is Swamp Thing, Green Hell, number one.
I didn't read that one.
Anybody else?
No.
No? Okay.
I want to. I have it.
You still have to finish the other Swamp Thing book.
Yeah, series. I read issue one, so I didn't have none. Yeah.
So, Earth is in post-apocalyptic mode. There's a father and a young daughter on a fishing boat, or like a little... like almost like rowboat, looking for food, and they're casting a net in there looking to find some sort of food or whatever, but they pull up everything and it's just all garbage, and you know, it's frustrating, and they're like, what are we going to do for food? So they go back into town and they're like, did you catch anything? No, you found a golf club. And the old guy, they encountered this old guy, and he's like, oh, I'll take the golf club. And he's like, why do you want a golf club? And he's like, well, I almost have a whole set. So these people are basically just hanging on just to survive. And here comes a group of... It reminded me of like Walking Dead. You need to pay your retribution to this group. They're fully armed. They got machine guns and everything else. And they're said, you either join us or you're gonna die on your own. And then they beat up the guy in front of his daughter, which was... kind of hard to take because the daughter was not supposed to be there. She was supposed to stay in the house, but she didn't listen. So you're like, where is this going? Like, where's Swamp Thing and all this? So it's called the Parliaments of the Green, the Red, and the Rot. They kind of start to get together and realize that humanity needs to be wiped out. So the people from the village attack the people that people had the guns, and then the people are dying and body parts and things are overflowing into the water, into the ocean. And this forms into a super horror-like creature that starts disemboweling people, killing people, spikes through the head. This is a Black Label book, so it was really good. And you're like, how are you going to stop this? And then the old man who has the golf club takes the daughter to the island where the dad says, don't ever go there. There's a guy on this island that can help you, but you don't want to go there. It's bad news. So he takes the young girl over, has the golf club, and lo and behold, they open up. It's an old John Constantine. And you're like, oh, that's very cool. I'm like, what are we going to do? So he's like, I'm not going to help you, but I'm going to help you. So he lays out his like little thing on the floor, does his little magic, and he pulls Alex Holland, Swamp Thing, who's been gone for like 40 years, into the present and explains what's going on. And like Alex Holland is pissed, and it just like kind of ends like there. I didn't expect this from Jeff Lemire, this kind of book, but it was great. I love Swamp Thing. The artwork from Doug Mankey, is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, yeah.
Was fantastic.
Doug Mankey is one of my favorites.
Yeah, if you haven't checked it out, check it out. It was an awesome book. The artwork's incredible. The story's really cool. So I think there's what? Two more pieces to this?
Yeah, I think it's a three-parter.
Yeah, so that's all I got.
Okay, guess I'll go. Good,
Pat.
My bad. Number three.
Oh, yes.
This book is crazy.
But it's crazy good.
No, it absolutely is. It starts off with the chandelier having a nightmare about a salad shooter because, of course, he is. Because
the bad guy gave it to him, and he wants to know why the bad guy gave it to him.
Right, right. Somehow him having a salad shooter means he knows his identity and is going after him. Sure. His version of Alfred sleeps in
a dresser.
A dresser drawer. Yeah. It's like you pull him out and there he is.
What was that? That was awesome. And you could tell he kind of like doesn't like him.
Yes. Yes. It's almost like, you know, kind of like how in, did you read Knighted?
No.
Okay. Well, in that, it's kind of the same thing where that version of Alfred hates.
Okay.
The Batman character.
Yeah, he's like super snarky with him, and it's just so funny.
So that was like the first part of the book, and then it's a vignette where it's Rush Hour, who is the guardian of freeway traffic in L.A., is like flying over. He goes, "Sir, you need to put on a seatbelt." It's like, we're just sitting here.
We're not going anywhere. Why do I need a seatbelt on?
And it turns out he's actually a hero, too. He's Man Boy, who's like a version of the Hulk.
Yeah.
This book, you got to read it to believe it. And what was the third one? Oh, and the third one was the king, the bad guy had captured Rush Hour.
And he's the ongoing process of torturing him and trying to kill, because there's like a 16-step process.
Yes.
He's stuck in this dome.
He's trying to walk him through it so he doesn't
die.
Doesn't die.
Yeah, it was like
to protect himself.
He was set on fire, and then there was a thermos, and he told him, he's like, "That's not water." And he opens it, and it's full of African killer bees.
And you see all the bee bite marks on his face.
He goes, "I told you it's not water." And the kid goes, "Yeah, I thought it might have been milk." And then there was one where he got punched in the face and the nuts at the same time. And then there was like a monkey threw acid on him.
He trained the monkey to throw acid.
Yeah, yes. Its name is Acid Monkey.
Yeah.
What?
Well, then you can't get mad if he throws acid in your face.
No, that's very true. I mean, he does what his name says, but...
Then the other story that developed with the chandelier was... His social media level was not high enough to where he wanted
that's
it.
That's all he was worried about.
That's all he's worried about.
So he went to another hero, Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Graham.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
And he's getting pointers and advice in there. And he's looking at the other hero. He has like 2 million
followers, but he's only been on Earth for 5 years. Yeah. And he's like, how could he have that many?
And he only has like, what,
20,000
followers? And he's like, wants to know what he's doing. Because all he does is post pictures of his bologna sandwiches.
Yes.
And everything's all about him. And the other heroes, their social media is about helping others, showing other people good ways to do things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what Mark Russell's on, but if he keeps writing like this...
He can stay on it.
He could stay on it. It's so good.
Yeah, he's doing it with the guy. I have to mention the other guy's name is Bryce Singleman, who's writing it too, and they're doing a great job.
This is
the most absurd like Mark Russell's ever gotten, I think. That's saying something.
Yes. And you know he's having fun. Obviously he's having fun.
Because what was the first issue? They had like a fake Hostess pie... I missed that there wasn't one in this because like you gotta have like a Twinkie the Kid.
There was the Saturday morning cartoons ad.
Yes.
So that it might have been there.
I lived for like those ads like in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the shows was My Bad Babies.
It's just so good.
True Nose Bone.
Yeah. Ugh.
And the other book I read was Human Target.
Yes. Read that. Oh, so, that art.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's a beautiful book.
I'm still
book.
Stunned that he has so little of a resume. Stunned. Like the first thing he did was that Jeff Lemire Moon Knight run.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I looked it up. I'm like, oh, he must have been around for years. No, a few years. Jimmy Palmiotti had tweeted about him, and I responded to him saying that that panel in issue two with Ice and the nightstand just blew me away. And as I'm reading this, I'm just like, this is so, so good. But it was nice he liked my tweet, so that made me feel good. Just Greg Smallwood, just, I mean, he is just unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the colors that are used are very. Yeah. It feels 60s.
Well, the art all feel looks like pencil. It's like not inked. Yes. And it's just almost like colored pencil. It's just it's this in the simplicity. Like it's not overdone. Yeah. It's very
beautiful.
Very simple. It's like and like I said, it was like Darwin Cook. Just really simple but elegant.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it just there wasn't massive detail. It was the simplicity that made it so pretty.
Styles are not similar, but
no, not at all. Right. But just the it's not overwrought. It's the lines are as clean as can be. But there was a very Guy Gardner heavy issue.
Man, guy's an ass.
He is.
What's your problem, man?
Yeah, it was because Christopher Chance is driving around with Ice,
who's his ex girlfriend that he doesn't want to give up, and she's still his girlfriend to him.
Yeah, kind of stalkerish.
Yeah.
So he's like chasing him throughout the book.
Yeah.
They go to visit Booster Gold, who has Booster's bagels, because he.
And they're not pre-toasted.
Right.
Never pre-toasted.
Yeah.
Because he apparently that's his. Lex Luthor also has a
Lex's Locks.
Yeah, Lex's Locks is his bagel shop, so that's his motive to kill Lex.
And Booster's going back in time to like ancient Babylon to get the sesame
seeds. Yeah, the sesame seeds and the onions and the one other ingredient. Yeah. But then also water.
Yeah.
He won't say where he got the water from, which is the whole thing was the poison was delivered to him in stale water, I think.
Yeah,
they
it was
said.
Like that. There was something with the hydrogen.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and Lex also has a silent partner who's presumably. Blue Beetle. But Chance thinks Ice is the one that did it. So he's keeping her close. Very close.
certainly too close for Guy.
Yeah. I think anything would be too close for Guy.
I came to the conclusion, along with a whodunit, this is, I don't know where this is going to go, but this is Tom King's version of a romance comic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can see that.
Yeah, especially that whole beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Just him so going well, over, you know, the so kiss, well and yeah, it's very, very well done. And Small was the perfect artist for this.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah,
that's what I read.
There has to be a Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Was there? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there is one. Yes.
I'm like, there's got to be one.
I didn't get that one right. I can remember.
I'll start with that one then. This issue was written and drawn by Patrick Gleason. He did both on this issue, so the majority of the issue is Peter. Not really wanting to start the... Because, like, now with Doc Ock's help, he's not in the coma anymore. But he's still pretty beat up and weak. And the nurse is trying to convince him to start, physical therapy. And, try to get stuff back on the road to recovery. And he's still trying to put it off a little bit, saying that he's not quite ready and stuff like that. Because of how he got caught in that blast in the beginning of the story arc, the stuff with that, like, is messing with his spider sense to where, like, it's, like super hyped up, and it's, like, it's giving him warnings of, like, things in the future, kinda, it seems like. He goes online and orders, eBay, a used Spider-Man suit that somebody, is selling on there. And it's just, like, this cheap thing. And he orders, and he said, and he goes out in like on a robe just to sit like on the rooftop and stuff, having like a coffee, just trying to, just like, you know, Spider-Man thing, just trying to get back, you know, in the swing of things, you know, like that. And then there was a there was like just like these two burglars trying to steal a car. So he's like, oh, that's perfect. I could, you know. That's something easy that, you know, I can easily stop. And, like, I think they had, like, some kind of powerful weapons or something, but they, like, caught him off guard and like, they were about to kill him. And Captain America shows up, and he's fighting them. And they do this cool scene where, like, one of the robbers gets a shot off, and because of, like, his spider sense, you know, he can see, like, the bullet coming. But his body's still so, like, weak and beat up, he can't do anything. And as it's getting closer, Cap's shield comes in and, like, ricochets the bullet away. But, like I said, Peter still can't move, so the shield ends up smacking Peter in the face and knocking him out. And you hear, as he's getting ready to pass out, you hear Captain America going, "Oh, sorry, son, but you normally duck." And then when he is passed out, he's like having this dream / like vision kind of thing of this time when he was younger and he like stole a candy bar from like a convenience store, and he was in his room, and May was talking to him, and then Uncle Ben comes in and told him that, like, gives him the candy bar, tells him, like, you know, like, I paid for the candy bar, so it's not stolen. I paid for it. And, you know, just goes over the things of, like, you know, how sometimes the right thing to do isn't always, like, the easiest thing to do. And, like, you know, that kind of stuff. So, after Ben leaves, Peter goes to the window and opens it up, and like this like webbed version of Spider-Man comes in. It kind of like looks like how he was doing like those cool like webbed variants of like Spider-Man, where it looked like it was just like he was like, it was like kind of something like that. And the webs came apart and like started to wrap himself in it, and like that's whenever he wakes up, hitting the nurse call button, because like earlier in the story, the nurse was like, well, whenever you're ready, hit the call button, we'll, you know, get you started. So the last page is like a splash page of him hitting the call button sign, waking up, and the way he's holding it, it's like with the two fingers out, like he's like, you know, shooting a web, which I thought was pretty cool. But yeah, it was pretty good with him doing both, you know, the writing and...
Has he written before?
I think he might have done, like, whenever he was on, like, Batman and Robin. Okay. And stuff like that. I think he might have had, like, an issue or two where he, like, or at least, you know, helped write or something, you know, something like that. Deathstroke Inc. The issue starts with Black Canary. You know, she's in the trust building. It's all raining and stuff, and she's like on the top trying to talk to Oracle, because you know she's like undercover trying to see what that trust is actually about. But the signal's cutting in and out, and it's like Oracle's warning her about like Deathstroke. And as she's doing that, She notices him off of like a reflection or something, and she ducks, and like, you know, he swings his big sword at her, and they're fighting for a little bit, and you know, it turns out that they're both trying to figure out what trust is actually what they're actually about, so they decide to go in like a little truce till after, you know, until they actually can figure out, because each one of them trust is messing with both Black Canary and Deathstroke in different ways. And then they come back into the house. And because they have a mission that they're supposed to go out on. the Captain Nightmare or something. Some guy who has, like, a, you know, abilities to, like, with the, you know, can give people nightmares and stuff like that. So they go to try to stop him, and it actually turns out that the people in charge of trust actually was using the Midnight Person to mess with their minds and got them to basically reveal that, you know, that they're working against each other, and they got sent to, there's just, like, it's like a house, just on, like, a little, floating on, like, a little plot of land, and there's, like, a couple more plots of, like, little pieces of land, and it's just whiteness all around, so I don't know if it's, like, not House of Mystery, but, like, something, like, you know, different realm or something like that, but it was an okay issue, but, again, the Howard Porter art almost makes it worth it, just to look at his stuff, just to get it. Detective Comics. This is the last issue before they start on the 12-part weekly thing. It was an alright. It was just basically Batman. I think started, there was like somebody stealing a car or something like that. Or there was a fire. He goes in to save some people from the fire, and, like, that also causes, like, an accident in the traffic, and a car is getting really flipped, and this is probably the best part of the issue, because there's, like, this granny walking down the street, and this car flips and is about to land on her, and they do a close-up on the old lady, and it's the grandmother from Once in Future. Because it's the same artist.
Oh, Dan Mora.
Yeah, because it's his last issue on the title, and then, you know, then he goes and saves her and stuff like that. But, you know, just basically just like a wrapping up test, like, you know, talking about like everything going on with the Joker War and the Scarecrow and stuff like that, and how, you know, just setting up new stuff. And then it had a backup story that I tried to skim through it a little bit, but I didn't really like it. The art on it was kind of weird.
This Shadow of the Bat better be stellar, because I'm not going to buy this book for 12 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Well, I'm worried because it has the same writer on it.
I'm not so much worried about that if she's getting to tell the story she wants to tell.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. That's a...
Is it going to have backups like all the other DC books?
I am not sure.
I mean, it came out today. I don't remember whether or not there on the cover if it said there was, but 12 weeks in a row of Detective is a lot.
Without Batman, it's like all secondary characters, right?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's like the Bat Family. Bat Family, yeah. Flash?
I read that.
So,
Mike,
this...
you're supposed to go...
So this issue is mostly told from Wally's son, Jay. He has a journal, or what he likes to call an action log. So maybe you might want to start taking up that, Colin, for your notebooks, your action log.
Will do.
Well, with Colin, it'd be an inaction log, but...
took the dogs to go poop again. But so he's, he's still kind of upset because he doesn't have powers, but his sister Iris still, she has powers, and, like, she's making friends at school, and he's really
a loner, yeah.
But she has, like, a best friend, and she doesn't seem to be a good influence
on her.
She's
a bad influence.
She's always getting, they snuck off on recess to go steal ice cream, and Jay followed and caught them, and then they almost got caught, but
they
she lied.
They got caught by one of the teachers at lunch
But she lies to get him out of it, and then later in the issue, she wants to have a sleepover, but...
During the week.
Yeah, during the week, with, you know, the mom doesn't, you know, not during a school day, and she ends up sneaking out and leaving, and Jay catches her doing that, too. And then it seems like she's getting... Because I'm thinking... Because I was thinking, like, watch this be like a supervillains kid or something. You know what I mean? But then they show her as she's getting ready to sneak out, this big hulking creatures like hiding in the shadows.
Behind her, yeah.
So, we don't know if that has anything to do with the little girl, or if maybe that, you know what I mean, how that plays out. But, and then so the Flash's story is like they're in Gem Ward,
the second dimension or whatever.
Yeah, in Gem Ward, and like so there's like almost like a huge like tremor like creature like digging through the ground and like. So
that reminded me of Tremors.
Yeah,
exactly. It was like the way it was drawn and everything. I was like, "Where's Kevin Bacon?"
Yeah, but so like the only thing that can stop it is like this big crystal building, but it's like miles away. And Flash is like, "Well, I got that," but she's like, "No, that's mine." And he just takes off, and she's like, "Oh yeah, that's right, Flash. That's kind of what he does."
Kind of what he does.
So like he leads them there because this thing can keep up with them pretty good. And so it's chasing after him, and then he has to bury himself in the ground so that it goes underneath the ground to, so it doesn't see the thing. And it's he's like literally like they do this cool panel where he's like scooping this dirt out and like basically throwing it at the thing as it's chasing him, and he like vibrates out of the way and it crashes into the thing, and the because like the guy, the bad guy that they were chasing was like inside of it or something, yeah, or controlling it or whatever. And then basically this guy's like, because they're looking for a certain bad guy, and this guy knows who he is, but he only shows if they take him with him kind of thing. And then, I forget, how does, they like they show up there, and they're getting ready to attack when, I can't remember what happens.
I can't remember either. I read it early.
Because the issue ends with the whole creature thing following the kid. Yeah. That's how the issue ends. But another good, you know, I like it. No turning hat then to turn the pages or anything.
Well,
like
Justice
that.
League Dark kind of turned at the end, like against the Flash. They got like kind of like mind control.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, because for some reason Flash is the only reason. For some reason, he's the only one who's not affected by. What's the gem guy?
We'll call him Gem Guy.
I can think of it. I can see the guy. I just can't think of his name. But like the guy with the moon and I'll think of it later. But anyway, because he can like control people, and like if he gets control, because Gem Ward is basically a huge diamond, so if he gets control, that is. His powers will go, like, you know, unmeasurable to where he can probably, you know, control whole universes or whatever. So, yeah, that's why you stop with them turning on him. And then, the last one I'll talk about is, Task Force Z. In the last issue, they bring Deadshot back, and he shoots Jason Todd. So this issue is them trying to save him. He ends up flatlining, and so they, because they're messing around, they're using, like, Lazarus and pills and injections to bring people back from the dead to basically, like, a zombie, like, Suicide Squad kind of thing. So they take this big needle full of Lazarus stuff and just stick it into his ear, and just that's how they, and not like through the arm or anything, just in through the ear, and you know, he wakes up and he's alive again. And then they cut to him like in his corner, and Deadshot shows up and he's like this old like withered like skeleton, but can still like speak, and they're, you know, talking about like. Because the thing is, you know, if you do enough missions and you get, they give you enough of the serum to fully bring you back. You know, they said basically another Suicide Squad thing. So they have like a talk about that, and you know, why would you bring me back as like this? Like, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. And then Jason goes out and he sees one of the female team members like is leaving. So he goes to see them, and they end up having like a slice of pizza together, and kind of talk about each reasons for them joining the, you know, past folks see, you know, joining the team and stuff like that. And then they come back, and as they come back, they have to go onto another mission. And so they show up to this Cobra base, and they start fighting all these Cobra things, but they realize that they're, like, these undead things, too, so they can kind of cut loose. And then, so members of the Jason's team start falling, and you realize that it's, the lady who Roy had a kid with, who's real good, like, assassin with poisons and stuff like that, again, I can't think of her name, but she's, like I said, she's really good with poison, so she's poisons everybody except Jason, because with his new suit, something is able to block out the, you know, the air that is, you know, poisoning everybody else, and they have a fight, because they even have, like, these, like, Lazarus pills that you can take, and, because he gets stabbed by her side, so he's trying to get it, and she kicks him, and they go flying, and now that he gets his helmet off, so now he's exposed to the poison, too, and she's like, well, I'll give you two choices. You can either jump off to the side of the building, it'd be painless, quick, and whatever, or you can wait for the poison to kill you, or for me to kill you, those, you know, more painful ways, you know, because he makes a muck about not being able to get to the pill that she knocked down. He's like, oh, those wasn't for me, they was for him, because Bane was laying on the side. So he gets them, and he just kind of Hulk smashes her just a good couple times into the thing. Like really, like when just like she was Loki, just bam, bam. and he gets her to stop. He tells her, you know, to stop. And he asks, like, how much I give, you know, since he's had a couple extra pills, like, if he knows what's going on, and if he remembers anything, because as she's beating him, because as he's beating her up, he hits him in the head with the crowbar, and he's like, you remember what, you know, your past memories, and he's like, yeah, bits and pieces, and he's like, so you know why I'm doing this, and they do, like, a panel of, like, silence, and him going, like, yeah, Penny says Pennyworth, and then Jason kicks him off the side of the building, and gets onto the radio, saying, oh, we lost Bane, and then, you know, he comes back, and because, like, this team is being run by, like, you know, a shadowy figure. You don't know who's in charge. And he is talking to, you know, the person who is running the team. And they can't find where Jason went. And they do a cut to his room. And Jason's hiding in the shadows. And he comes walking out. And we find out the person in charge is actually Two-Face. So that was, like, the big reveal at the end, is that Two-Face is in the charge of this Task Force Z,
Is this
stuff.
A mini, or...?
Yeah, it's like a 12-part part mini. But that was it. All
right. I read Apache Delivery Service. Anybody else read that?
So, were the Apaches being delivered to somebody, or were the Apaches the delivery?
So, the book is about I think it's Vietnam era. I call him like a scout. He might be like a sniper, but he is a Native American, and everybody in the platoon, like at the start of the book, he's like calling in airstrikes, and he's like doing it really well. So when he gets back to camp, everybody's like, oh, the Apache, and they keep calling him the Apache, and he goes in, and he goes into, like, the office, and they're like, oh, the head guy is like, we're gonna put you on leave for a week because you're doing such a good job, Apache, and he's like, you know, I'm not an Apache, I'm, you know, a different tribe, I can't remember which one he named, so he's not an Apache at all, it's just a, you know, stereotype by the other soldiers. And the guy's trying to put him on leave, and he's like, you know, I honestly, I prefer being alone in the jungle, like, doing my job. I'm not here to, you know, go to the whorehouses or the bars or whatever. So he heads back out, and I don't know if this is possible. It struck me as a little not realistic, but he trips and discovers like a claymore tripwire.
Yeah.
And he's able to like disarm it, and then he like puts it in his bag like for like later use.
Okay.
You could do that?
Okay.
I wasn't sure if those things could be disarmed like that, yeah.
Yeah, because all the, it's a blasting cap, you unscrew it, you can take it out.
Okay. Alright, so that's good, that's cool.
The fact that when he tripped over it...
Well, he didn't trip over it. He tripped before it, and when he was getting up,
he saw the...
Whoa, there's a tripwire here.
Yeah. Okay.
So, had he not tripped, he probably would have, you know, been blown up. So, I think that, like, put his guard up. Because he sees a, like, an American, I'll call it a scarecrow, like, in the distance. And he kind of moves in cautiously to, like, inspect it. And it's clear that it's, like, it's this very, like, decayed body. And it, like, startles him. So, when he backs up, he's caught in a trap, and the trap, like, I call it like a sling trap, like where it grabs your ankle and it lifts you up, mm-hmm. and when it lifts him up, he hits a tree and gets knocked out, and then when he wakes up, he's strapped to this bed, and there is a, he looks like an American who's there, and it's very clear that this guy is, like, some kind of serial killer, right? It's not, you know, the Vietnamese or anything. It's this weird serial killer guy. So, and that's kind of where it leaves off as a cliffhanger. So, the art in this I was not impressed with, but it just didn't seem.
It seemed very amateurish.
Yeah, like, you know,
like almost felt like crayon.
Is it Tyler Jenkins? Because they did...
I thought he did a cover. I don't think he was the interior.
Oh, he did the inside because they did that Maybe. Black bag.
Because I picked it up together. And then I thumbed through it and I go, no.
Yeah, I liked the one he did right before this. The Case was called?
Fear Case.
Fear Case, yeah.
Yeah.
Fear Case was really good, so I picked this up. But yeah, the art, like... Yeah, just a little amateurish is a good word for it. It fit the story, and like, you know, it wasn't amateurish in that, like, you know, the panels don't read the right way and things like that. It was just kind of like, you know, it just didn't look very, you know, almost like it was rushed, you know, kind of thing. But I'll read the next one. It was pretty interesting. Stray Dogs Dog Days.
Yeah. I read that.
I actually didn't like this. Like, it's the same, like, tone as the original, which is really good, but this was just, like, kind of four-page, like, vignettes of each dog kind of, like, giving you a little bit more backstory and, like, how they got into the serial killer's house and, like, you know, some of the, like... the victims that the serial killer had. So it's like, I don't know, like, this is a miniseries as well, so I don't know what the next issues are going to be, because I think they've introduced us to pretty much every dog at this point.
Yeah, I don't even know if there's more than two issues of this, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, it's just a two-parter.
Just two-parter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
This almost feels like, hey, let's put this out, and then... like, we can do a, like, Stray Dogs Deluxe Edition at some point. Where, like... because I think this stuff would be much better, like, if it was, you know, in the original series. Just kind of like, you know, oh, give every dog a, you know, a little bit of attention. Whereas I think they only do, like, three or four dogs in the original.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah.
But it's good. It's got this... I just felt like this was, like... you're just punching me in, like, the heartstrings, like, you know, I don't know, there were, like, probably six vignettes in this, something like that. Yeah. It was good, like, the art is just as good,
yeah.
You know, the dogs have personality.
I liked it for what it was.
Yeah.
It was, you know, some of those stories are really creepy, even as short as they are, and you know, tugging at your heartstrings, yeah. as you said, with that, the one with the one dog was fighting with the cat all the time, and then the dog,
yeah,
and it's the cat's left behind. It's like wondering where the dog is,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and the last one with Roxanne when she's going to the groomers, mm-hmm. and she comes out, and they run into Rusty and the murderer.
Yeah,
going in, that was well done.
Yeah, I like the one with what's the name of the dog? The black dog, the black and brown, almost like Beethoven. When she's a puppy, she's real like energetic and getting into everything.
Yeah,
and then when she reaches the serial killer's house, she just like lays there silently, and you see her like.
Yeah.
Get bigger.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. I was expecting more of a story, and I was kind of hoping that they would do, you know, something similar in, you know, pick another genre and do it from the dog's point of view.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking too, but.
Yeah. The other thing I'll mention, Action Comics. I can't remember the number, but this is like the third part of the Mongol war world thing where Superman has gone to basically liberate war world. And the female Steel, I don't know what her name is. And then there's another girl who she looks like she's from like a video game. She's got pink hair, doesn't have sleeves. She's dressed in armor, like her legs mm-hmm. are armored and her like torso is armored except for her like midriff. I have no idea who she is, but like they're kind of like put into like gladiatorial combat, and Superman is in prison and Midnighter comes to like break him out. And Superman refuses to leave because he's going to, like, convince the people of War World to, like, rise up and free themselves. So, which I'm sure it's still going to result in Superman punching Mongol in the face. But the series has been really good, so I'm enjoying it.
Good.
That's it for me.
pardon me. I have a couple left. Devil's Reign, number two. I really like this. I really like this story so far. Kingpin is outlawed. Mayor Kingpin has outlawed powers and vigilantism in New York City, and he's going to run for president of the United States with the Purple Man's help. And there's a new group of Thunderbolts.
Too soon.
Yeah, the Thunderbolts is his police force to cut down on the good guys using their powers.
Yeah, so like at the start of this, we have Crossbones going into the office of Danny Rand,
who has no powers at this point, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
But he still knows
he's not in costume or anything.
He knows kung fu and starts whooping on him.
Yeah, and Whiplash and Taskmaster are taking hostages at the Daily Bugle to try to get Spider-Man out of hiding.
And he shows up.
Yeah, I think it's Ben Reilly, though.
It is Ben Reilly, yeah.
Right. And Reed and Sue are in jail, in prison, in the middle of the ocean, but it's not the raft. It has another name.
Yeah.
The floaty?
It's like the mirror. It's like Myrmion or something.
The floaty, yeah.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah, I like that.
So then we have like the Avengers left. Let's see, Cap, and Iron Man,
Luke Cage,
Jessica Jones. They go to
Tony Stark's with them.
Yeah, they go to Avengers Mansion.
A hidden Avengers Mansion. It's like
a sub basement of Avengers Mansion. I haven't seen Avengers Mansion.
It's like under. So long. It's all secret underground. Like nobody really knew it was there.
So they're planning. Tony was going to run for mayor against Kingpin, but they decide that it should be Luke Cage
because he's more popular. He has more charisma.
Yeah, they don't want billionaire against billionaire.
Yeah. And then did you notice that Tony looked pretty miffed?
Yeah.
That he was not picked. Yeah. I don't know if he was like actually pissed off or what, but he was not a happy camper.
Yeah.
And then they show Taskmaster and Whiplash going after Ben Reilly Spider-Man, and they get the collar around him. So he's powerless.
Oh, yeah.
And they throw him out of a building of a high-rise.
Yeah.
And he goes to shoot the web, and he connects, but he dislocates his arm, and he just goes kersplat. Yeah. He's still alive, but he's definitely worse for wear. Yeah.
So at the end of this, Dr. Octopus is helping Kingpin, like, use the purple man.
He's got Mr. Fantastic stuff.
But he doesn't, Doc Ock, he doesn't even care about that. He cares about the Baxter building.
Yeah, he just wants to get into there and get all the tools.
And he has the Forever Gate.
Uh-huh.
Then we get that last page. I don't know what exactly was going on there.
It looked like, it reminded me of the one couple issues where they had Wolverine, Hulk, and Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
As a Fantastic Four. And that's what they pulled for. But the Hulk had like six arms and like mutant
things. Yeah. And
Wolverine looked like the Savage Wolverine.
Yeah.
The Dark Avengers. And Ghost Rider just kind of looked like Ghost Rider.
He must be putting together a new Fantastic Four from...
Like from the 90s?
Yeah. From the 90s.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing too is Elektra confronts Kingpin.
Yeah.
And they have a conversation about... I think Kingpin's starting to realize that there's something he's not remembering and something's being wrong. Yeah. And then he says to Elektra, like, well, you don't want your buddy to find out all your secrets. And then Elektra's like, oh, crap. If Matt finds out, their relationship is going to be pretty much over.
Is there anything that she really could do at this point that he doesn't know about that it would upset
Well, apparently him there is. Like, yeah, apparently.
Like,
yeah.
What else, other than, like... that she's the one that killed his dad. Like, that. Like, what else could she have possibly done?
Well,
she'd
have to be,
point.
Like, 13 years old then, but I don't think that was it. But something to deal with the...
She was the one driving the car that caused the accident that made him blind.
Yeah.
Yeah, she could kill Foggy. And...
Yeah. But it was a really good issue. The artwork was great, too.
Marco Cicchetto, his art's great.
Yeah.
Other Marvel one, I read Timeless.
I read that, too.
Which I guess is just the one shot with the future of the Marvel Universe.
And better watch Loki.
Which Marvel Universe?
That's what I was going to ask. Is it like it looked like it was a?
Oh, it is.
Like let's bring the
basically,
Loki plotline into
the. There's a lot more involved, but the crux of it is there was a rogue timeline that they cut off, like they did in the show where they went and made the little thing that. There was a character, someone there was so powerful that it was able to keep it from disintegrating and is attempting to reattach it to the main timeline.
Is that Kang?
It could be a Kang.
Oh,
it might be that timeline's Kang. So,
the story is, there's a scholar, Anatoly Petrov, and he's like writing a book that saying that Dr. Doom is the most... has had the greatest impact on the 20th century, 21st century. And Kang, like, learns about this, and he becomes myth, you know. No, Dr. Doom, you know. How about Kang the Conqueror? So he, like, takes Petrov on, like, through the timelines to prove, you know, that I'm better than Dr. Doom.
Yeah. But I feel like the whole timeline thing, that's not something that has been in the Marvel Universe before. The timelines, like, they've had the multiverse.
This is all new. Yeah.
But they've never had the timelines. And, like, the term variant, I don't think they've ever had in, except for the Loki show, right? That stuff's all kind of originated there.
Yeah.
So, I don't have a problem with them bringing those concepts in. But, like, it seemed like... I don't know. It just seemed like it's just kind of, you know, tacking new stuff on.
They show like scenes that what might happen in the future. Like there's,
and everybody's glomming on that. Oh, there was this little, you know, brief piece of art about this.
Yeah,
so now that book
like
is skyrocketing.
Looks like
and...
Storm as Black Panther and a new group of Young Avengers. But we get the last page, the big reveal.
So I mean, I'm beyond excited about this because they didn't tease this, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah. It's like the Petrov's thinking to himself and he says, I can't get this image out of my head.
Yeah, and that was San Diego when they first teased that. Yeah.
And it's the Miracle Man logo.
So they're bringing him in and they just announced they're doing a Miracle Man omnibus. It was like forever
ago.
Did they
do that?
It was at San Diego and they released an image and it was a Joe Quesada drawing of Miracle Man and they were bringing him in. And nothing happened. And then the Neil Gaiman run is going to finish. Never happened. It's like, nobody cares about Miracle Man.
Did they re-release the three volumes, though?
They re-released everything that had been printed.
Okay.
But by the end, nobody cared. It wasn't, so I wasn't even carrying it.
Mm. But, like, are they going to bring him in like they brought Angel in? Do you know, have her show up for
Angela. Well, that was part of it.
You should know.
Well, yeah, that was part of the whole thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, where she's at? When was the last time she showed up in anything?
Yeah. She was in Guardians of the... Or As Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Last time
that was a big seller. Everybody loved that book.
Is that
sarcasm? It was vital. It was vital to everything we're reading now.
Yeah. That actually... That was a fun book, though. That was the, like, was that Donny Cates, right?
No.
It was either Donny Cates or, what's his name? The guy who did Immortal Hulk. I'm flanking on his name.
Oh, I know.
Al Ewing.
Ewing. I think it was either Al Ewing
Tremaine
or Donny Cates.
Screaming at his car radio right now.
Yeah. I think it was one of those two, but it was a fun book. Like it was very, I don't know, it was good, but that's another one. Like Donny Cates, 2 years ago, like they did like the double page spread of, who was it? It was somebody having a vision. I think it was Thor having a vision of the future, and it was, Thanos' son with the gauntlet, and he had like conquered the universe, and like they still haven't done anything with that.
Yeah,
like, good on them if they're planning stuff, you know, 5 years in advance. But it seems more like
I think somebody watched Loki and went, "Oh, we should do something like that."
Well, you know, one vision at a time, guys. I mean, come on, you gotta.
Yeah, but I got to the end. I was like, okay,
But you probably have some old issues in in the back. Somewhere where you can bring them out now. It's a hot book.
Yeah. I don't know. It blew up. The book blew up, but I have more coming in if you want to read it. I mean, the issue itself was fine. It was interesting watching Kang do all these different things. The one thing I enjoyed was where the person, I don't want to give away everything, but the guy that went along with him did something. And he's like, I saved you. He's like, oh, or maybe I let you save me so you would think I, you know, it was just like, okay, you're Kang, you know everything. But it's like, no, you, stop.
Maybe I let you.
You basically, let you do that. Yeah. So, but that's.
Lastly, I'll mention Ice Cream Man, number 27. This one
oriented the right way.
It's oriented the right way. You didn't have to turn the book at all. But it's his take on, Kafka's metamorphosis, but instead of the guy turning into a cockroach, it's a cockroach who turns into a guy, and it's called the morphometasis. And it starts with three cockroaches. It's got, Greg, of course, living with his two brothers in a shoebox in an alley, and then one day he sprouts a head and an arm and two legs, and he gets too big to live in the shoebox anymore, and he falls asleep on the wet grass in the park, and he wakes up the next day, he's a human, and he has a wife and a kid, and the story is just him learning to be human and learning about human emotions and how a cockroach relates to human emotions. So it was so cool story. It was well done. Creepy as all Ice Cream Man issues are.
Is it like a horror book?
It's a horror book.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Don't we have this discussion?
every time.
I don't know. It's remember. A horrible
call. Much they like I like ice cream. Cream, should I get it?
Yeah.
Well, he also reads Archie.
Yeah.
It's like a big...
He's like an onion. He has many layers. Name. Yes.
You are no one understands you, but your woman.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Okay. Mike went.
Yeah, we're waiting on you.
Okay. No, I know. I had a phone call. I had a phone call. I had to take. Okay. That's all. So.
I guess that was everything you read.
Yeah, I only read the three. We already talked about them. Yeah, I'm done. I'm out. Okay. Tapping out.
Coming out next week, Colin.
Okay. It was funny because the diamond invoice, you go to the end and you look at how many items are shipping in the total, and there's not much coming, and the total was large. And I'm like, what the heck? And then one guy orders a bunch of more expensive stuff. It's all coming in next week. It's crazy. He gets those Star Trek ships, and he has 8 of them coming, 2 of which are a 79, a 75, 50, 50, 50, 50, wow. 30, 30. It's like, oh, man. And then my favorite that's coming for him, $150 Hero Collector Advent Calendar. Yeah, that's timely.
Yeah.
That's perfect for
I heard a here. Bunch of people got those Advent calendars
after
a week after Christmas. Yeah.
It's like...
And the other thing is, it's not a Christmas thing. It's Advent. Like, you need those in, like, November.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like this one I ordered in July. So you assume...
Yeah.
Okay. But we have Animal Castle number 1 second printing. So I'm definitely going to try to read this one. James was really excited about it. James from Harrisburg was really excited about this one. And when I went to get one to read, they were all gone. Oh, this is good, too. A trade from September that should have been out in November called Black Friday is shipping next week. That's good. Good timing. Right around Black Friday. We have Hell Sonya number 1, which is a new Red Sonya book of Red Sonya. Where is she?
I assume in hell.
That's correct, sir. I only have covers A through V coming. Sorry about that. If that's not enough choice for you.
Only A through V?
Only A through V.
What about ZZ?
I didn't make it up to... Or they didn't do that one.
Colin.
Or actually, I probably don't even have all of them coming. No. Oh my gosh. I'm missing L. M and N O. Those might be those $50 ones. I don't get the $50 ones because that's whack. We have Joe Hill's The Rain. This is from Image. It's a new...
It's an adaptation of his short story.
Something. Okay.
So does that mean Hill House is like officially dead?
I can't say that. I don't know. Well, no, isn't that refrigerator or the... Yeah, refrigerator full of heads. And...
I don't think it's Hill House.
It's not him, but I think it's Hill House. I think it's... Turn around, Spencer. Let's say Hill House at the top. Nope, right, literally, right head height, straight ahead. It's got a wolf.
The sequel to...
Got a wolf?
It just says Black Label.
Yeah, oh, okay.
It says Hill House.
Yeah, okay. I thought so.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe this, because it's an adaptation, it wouldn't fall under that.
Could
okay.
be. King of Spies, number 2. I really like number 1. I thought that was good. That was the Mark Miller from Image. Maniac of New York, Bronx is Burning, number 2. Woo. You guys seem to like that one.
More killing.
We have Spawn Scorched. It's the team-up book of all the extra spawns. Yeah, because you demanded it.
Is the Gunsmoke spawn?
Oh, yeah.
Gunslinger.
Gunslinger spawn and King spawn. And
what is this?
Lady spawn.
Yeah, Spawn Universe.
Back in my day when I was a kid.
I used to watch Gunsmoke. Sorry.
Yeah, don't.
That was my fastest.
Wow. Okay, We Ride Titans is coming. That's an Aftershock book following up on We Ride. And then, What's the Furthest Place from Here, number 3? And I realized I haven't read number 2, so I'll get on that. Then from...
Don't forget to listen to the records.
I can't. I got one, and it was pre-ordered. They're selling for over $100. Great job. Thanks, guys. So next week from DC, we have Batgirls, number 2. Justice League versus Legion of Superheroes, number 1. That's
by
a six,
Bendis.
Six-parter.
Like his last
thing. It'll be great.
Which is fine, because I thought this was spinning out of a Justice League annual that hasn't shipped yet. What do I know? Robin and Batman number 3, the Jeff Lemire, Dustin Nguyen one. That's really about it as far as big, you know, notables. Nothing real new. And then from Marvel, we have Spencer. Can you guess what the first book on the list is?
Spider-Man.
That is correct. Amazing Spider-Man.
B or just Spider-Man? Amazing Spider-Man
85. Yeah. Not a beyond, just a 85. We have Daredevil Woman Without Fear, which is Elektra. Dark Ages number 4, Death of Doctor Strange, Bloodstone, because everybody loves Elsa Bloodstone. Devil's Reign Superior 4. We have Marauders. Marvel Voices Heritage. I don't remember which one this is. Sorry. Star Wars number 20. Star Wars Bounty Hunters number 20. Star Wars Eye of Republic, High Republic, Eye of the Storm number 1. And Wastelanders Black Widow. So.
Is that High Republic stuff selling?
It sells. It started off with a bang, and it's really leveled off. A lot of people are like, I don't care, you know.
Yeah. Because I was going to pick up the first one, and I...
It blew up. Yeah that would blew up. Like, it was, it was like $15 a day, and it's like, you're guessing. It's a second, it's a new Spider-Man book that all of a sudden a lot of people were asking for late, but you just don't know what the demand's going to be, because it's, you know, not main canon, so, but it's starting to slow down. So that's what we got. I'm going to try to do some stuff here tomorrow. Hopefully I can be productive. I try. It's a little harder now with
writing. Write it in your action journal.
I will. This is my podcast journal. I have a different journal to write in.
Eclipso was the bad guy.
Yeah, Eclipso, yes.
I told you I'd remember.
Wow, that was out of left field. Okay, sure.
The Flash bad guy.
Rosebud was the sled. Yeah, okay, sure.
That was it. Oh, I remember that miniseries. Or that was like... Was it the annuals in like the 90s?
Yeah, like a series. Yeah, they did like a thing with all the annuals.
That was actually good. I liked that.
So
it's also a dance, right?
What is it?
Oh, no, that's the Calypso.
Rosebud? Oh, okay.
Not Eclipso.
So hopefully we'll have more news, and I'll be a little more prepared. Hopefully somebody will... He's sound asleep again, isn't he?
Yeah, every once in a while.
That's like narcoleptic dog.
He gives a growl.
The narcoleptic dog. But I'm just happy they're both so comfortable here. Like the fact that he can fall asleep on the sofa with my hand on him, and he's completely comfortable, and it's only been a week, so it's good. But my sleepy dogs. So hopefully I'll be, I don't want to say a little more prepared, but have a little more stuff prepared for next week and read more. I'm embarrassed. 3 books. Shame, shame, shame. But as always, we're doing Superman Month. Figured I'd start off with the big guy for the month. Also, I got to get the book club book out, but we're going to hopefully do a book club. It's a short book, so.
So February is a short month. Are you going to do any short superheroes?
Oh.
Oh, that's good.
Well, you got Puck?
Yeah, Puck. I'm trying to think.
Puck would be a real good one. I like that. Next month we might do, we'll do, probably won't do that Adam. Superhero, but we'll do a special one just for you,
Mike. Do short superheroes. Seriously, do them all.
Okay. Control.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be pulling out the old...
Wolverine.
Yeah. Yeah, define short.
The Atom.
You could put a list of short superheroes.
Toad.
Why don't Mike? Mike, here's your homework.
It's A.
Here's your homework. Here's your homework.
Okay. He can't do that.
You come up with a list of short superheroes.
He can't do that because the last time he made customers think they screwed this.
No, no. I'll make a list.
Okay. I could do that.
But yeah, you make the list. I'll do it. Okay. But so I just got it. I have a bunch of them. They're just under the table. I just got to get to them. But so we're going to do Bog Bodies this month. So I don't even know what day, but we'll do it. It'll be the last Friday of the month.
Who wrote that?
Declan Shalvey wrote it. Somebody else drew it. It's a short trade. It was never issues. It was just always an original graphic novel.
What else did
novel.
He write?
He hasn't written. He's drawn a ton of stuff. He drew the Warren Ellis Moon Knight run.
What's that time book?
That's what I know.
Yeah, he's writing that right now. Yeah. So we'll do that, and then I have a good idea for February. A really good idea for February.
Short stature.
No, not short. No, for book club. Uh-huh. We're not going to do an Ant-Man book for book club. That's crazy talk.
I mean, we want people to show up.
We're going to do a book that's returning after I think 3-year hiatus. We're going to do the first volume.
Saga?
Yeah, we'll do Saga in February.
Didn't we already read Saga?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Did Jeff Lemire write it? Then we probably didn't do it.
It's been 2.5 years.
Of all the books we read.
That's crazy.
We figured when we started book club, it was probably on hiatus, probably.
Probably, yeah, to be honest, yeah. So I just got a bunch of those coming in. So and the first volume is only $10 anyway, so it'd be good. But I'll get this Bogged Bodies dug out. I'll have Pat do that tomorrow. And so let's see. So the website's PittsburghComics.com, which I'm looking at revamping, although I honestly have no idea how to do that. So, yeehaw. Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics, or Rex the Comic Dog. So, or and, I guess. That's additive. We'll figure, maybe, we'll see.
Maybe she could make a guest appearance.
That's what I'm thinking. We'll do some of that. So.
Look, but, she's twitching over here. She's so pissed.
Yeah, she's chasing rabbits, but sure. So, let's see. Brandon, since you're back, send us home.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.